The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian the Bear. I am here with the condensed, but really the most important of the core cast. I have Oral.
I'm like a bouillon cue.
Pat is here to join us for a little bit.
I'm the whole Thanksgiving dinner.
And Eric is sitting over there in the corner.
I'm just a whore.
There we go. So, let's jump right in. We attended a little show.
Who's we?
I should say, I meant the royal we, but really I meant the, you know, the us we. Pat and I attended Dragon Con with Jacob, the straight boy on the floor, who's
I
not here.
I saw him at the pictures from World of Coca-Cola.
Yes, the World of Coke. Eric's having flashbacks. Yep. So we went up to Atlanta for Dragon Con and other things. We actually only attended the show directly on Sunday, which might seem like an unusual choice, except that Sunday was the day that an author, Gene Wolfe, sci-fi writer that I am very big fan of, was there and did a panel.
What has he written?
Book of the New Sun, Fifth Head of Cerberus. It's kind of obscure sci-fi, I'll be honest. A lot of people didn't know about it. I mean, sci-fi writers know of him as like the writer's writer, but a lot of fans, he's got like a core group of devoted fans, and then a lot of people just know of him. Anyway, so he's 83. And unfortunately, his wife had just passed away back in December. All this tells me he is not going to be around forever.
That man is going to die soon.
So, and I've wanted to see him for many years now. He's been at Dragon Con several times. I knew this in the past. It just didn't work out. This time, we made it happen. But we had some adventures in downtown Atlanta around Dragon Con Saturday.
Oy vey.
Did you go to Bulldogs?
No.
Oh, what's Bulldogs?
No. That is the big African American gay sportsish bar. It's like the college bar.
Mm. Okay.
It's a college bar.
But it's not really a college bar because like everybody goes there.
Well, and they had the Bulldogs like gathering because it was Black Gay Pride weekend as well.
Yep.
Woo!
So they had a bunch of events going on. We kept getting growler shouts for.
Went to World of Coke. Coca-Cola, and had an interesting time. I think overall a very good experience, definitely very Epcot Disney-fied experience. I've not been there in over 15 years.
World of Coke?
The World of Coke, yes. Not the World of Stonewall, it's the World of Coke. So, the only
lots of bags of chalks everywhere. I don't know what it was.
The only thing I will say about the World of Coke, two things. We had a lovely time, three things. We had a lovely time with the polar bear.
The polar bear was fun.
We had pictures we'll post up on Facebook if you want to see it of us having fun with the polar bear. And Jacob especially. He had a really good time with the polar bear. I think the polar bear did not want him to leave.
I don't think, yeah. I think the polar bear developed a bit of a crush.
Yeah, it was the beard.
And tried to suffocate him.
Another thing I will mention is there is a 4D movie experience that you can sit through.
It's like a Bug's Life. At Animal Kingdom. If you've ever gone and seen the Bug's Life movie, where the chairs will shake and then the bug pokes you from behind.
Yeah.
Same thing happened.
And it was
Coca-Cola?
No, you don't have a microphone. Nobody can hear you.
So basically, it's like the doctor, if he regenerated into a mad scientist obsessed with discovering the secret of Coca-Cola and brings along a companion, as is tradition, to solve the mystery of why or what Coca-Cola has in it. What it is.
No one else found the Doctor Who analogy in it.
Oh, my
for
God.
Him.
Are you kidding me?
You know what? Can we at least save the Doctor Who stuff for when we talk about the new series of Doctor Who that just started.
I am only saying, and yes, we will, but I'm only saying that's what it reminded me of. The other thing is the motion did nothing. Like the little, the most exciting thing that little motion chair did is it, there's a part where you're driving down a cobblestone court, like in Italy, and it's like the whole time. And that was about it. Everything else was just weird, and I didn't like it.
Well, because it, you know, it pulls you back. You're supposed to be like, you know, on the snowboard, so it lifts you up and then it drops you down when you hit the snow.
It's like the great movie ride.
Yeah.
That's old school Orlando, ladies and gentlemen. Really, that's old school Orlando.
Is that no longer there?
Oh, girl, that left like 2 years.
That's how long it's been since I've been to that
park. Great movie ride? No. No, movie rider. It's like movie rider.
Oh, that's different.
On International Drive, it's different.
Oh, that is different. Oh, okay. Or the D-Box. They have a thing called the D-Box in that
nothing
theater.
But dicks. Dicks just pummel you during the movie.
If only. So
Dicks, and more dicks.
The only other thing I will say is we did go into the little trial of the Cokes from around the world, and they actually did have more that had than we have at Epcot, which I was surprised and pleased.
Columbia's was the best, oddly enough.
Just Pablo, I think it was called.
Coca-Cola.
So, one thing I found funny is there is an Indian Coke. What was it called? Thumbs Up. It tastes like they put curry in Coca-Cola, but not in a like offensive way, but just with like a little hint of something. So it was actually good, and it was, funny enough, a lot of Indian tourists were there drinking it, which is kind of funny. Now, the other Coke that I will mention is Beverly. Oh.
Beverly's disgusting.
Yes, we have Beverly here at Epcot, I'm pretty sure.
I'm aware.
Yeah, and of course, the tour guide's like, you've got to try Beverly. It's really good. No. And it's like the one that's just... I don't even know what to compare it to. It's just so bitter.
Bitter.
It's like oral soul.
It's oral in a glass.
Oh. Which sounds good, but actually disappoints.
Anyway,
all right.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why did you only go... First of all, I have two questions.
Yes.
Did you go to Gladys Knight and Ron Wyden's Chicken and Waffles?
We did not.
Because you fucked up. Two.
Yes.
Why did you only go on Sunday to Dragon Con?
Well, like I said, we had toyed with the idea going on Saturday and Sunday, or just Saturday. And when I looked at the app, which is the only place you can find the schedule for Dragon Con, is if you download the app. You go on there and you look for it, and you have to search, and there's tabs, and it's this whole big production. Found out that panel, he was only presenting at a panel. He was not sitting in Artist Alley. He was not sitting in the vendor space. He was just showing up, doing a spiel, and leaving. And I think he's actually got a spiel on Monday, too. But basically, I wanted to see him. So Sunday was the day. That's why we did Sunday. Saturday was more expensive, too.
I'm pretty sure had I gone on Saturday, I would have murdered half of Atlanta afterwards.
Really?
So if you've never been to Dragon Con, let me just warn you in advance. It is not like any other convention that you've ever experienced, except maybe I've heard San Diego is a little bit spread out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think New York actually has like multiple hotels, but like two maybe. So DragonCon actually is spread out among, I think so. I think they
expanded. Jacob Javits Center.
Oh, is it just Javits Center? Okay, then I take that back.
Yep.
So DragonCon is distributed among five different hotels in the city of Atlanta. The fifth one's whatever. But basically, and then the other building where the vendors.
The America's Mart. That might be the fifth building because it was the Marriott, the Hyatt, the Sheraton.
The Marriott's terrible.
And the Westin.
And the Hilton.
Oh, and the Hilton. So it's five, and then America's Mart, which is where they have two floors of hell.
It is a geek flea market, which basically is what you'd expect at a convention, but it's all part of everything else. Yes. It was awful.
Yeah, con smell.
Very bad circulation. So Sunday we got there very early because we were told to get there early.
Let's back up.
Oh, shit.
Let's back up.
Tell the story.
Fine. You tell it.
So, okay. This is what happened. We decided we were going to go to the World of Coke and possibly do the beach party at the aquarium.
Uh-huh.
Mind you, World of Coke right next to the aquarium.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Okay. First off.
Oh, did a man sitting on a milk crate try to get you to get a haircut from him?
No.
Okay, because that happened to me.
Really?
Yeah.
No, but there was a barbershop open at 1 a.m. on Saturday night. I was like, what?
It's Atlanta. You always need to make sure you look right, get it right, get it tight. Continue.
Mm, okay. So, first off, there was a Georgia Tech Alabama game. There was, I think, a Braves game.
Mm.
There's Dragon Con. Mm-mm. And then just the regular tourist stuff in Olympic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we circle around parking in some of the public lots, $50. Re fucking donkey
on Saturday.
On Saturday. $50. $50, yeah. $40, $30. We finally found one for $20. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We walk, a short walk over to the World of Coke. All right. I didn't have my camera because I didn't realize we had gone to visit a friend of mine earlier. So I thought we were going back to the hotel, so I didn't have it. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, World of Coke isn't a big deal. But then we're like, all right, well, we're going to stay for the aquarium since it's right here. We just paid $20 to park. All right, that sucks because, you know, you're in an aquarium. You want pretty pictures of the fishies or the random costume people because it was a big costume aquarium party. All right. Done with the World of Coke. We decide.
We're feeling great. We're on top of the world. It's great.
We were on a high. Who knew? So Brian decides, okay, we're not going to do the aquarium. Crazy line, like 2 hours before the thing was supposed to open. We're just like, all right, we'll just deal with that. So Brian says, a friend of mine who's volunteering said, we can go over to the Sheraton tonight and get our tickets for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Even though the pre-registration paperwork says Sunday only day pass, $40, and in brackets next to it, only available day of. We still went on this guy's advice that, oh, they'll be able to sell it to you. So we walked the 18-minute walk from the World of Coke in oppressive humidity to the Sheraton. Sweating like a motherfucker.
I got my steps in. I hit my goal. I was very happy.
We get to the Sheraton. We find the registration room. We go talk to a volunteer. And he's like, I don't think so, but maybe it might be in the other ballroom where they're doing yada, yada, yada. He goes and talks to a woman. Nope. They can't get him out of lockup until tomorrow. Well, all right. So Brian then asks, well, I want to get to a panel at 11:30 tomorrow. What time do you think I should be there? Be here tomorrow to buy our passes.
20 minutes from now.
Almost. The guy's like, well, you know, you're going to be buying them day up, so it's going to take you five times as long as the pre-registered people. So I'd get here no later than 8 a.m. A single tear rolled down my cheek at that point. I said, all right. So we left, decided to go back to the hotel, shower because of, again, oppressive humidity killing us. Go get dinner. Went to karaoke at Oscar's. Bar I'd never been to. Had a good time. Good, good, good. Wake up at 6, between 6:30 and 7 a.m.
And we were out until about, what, 1 something?
Yeah, we got back to the hotel at 1:15 in the morning. At between 6:30 and 7 a.m., shower. Drive down there, found parking 2.25 blocks away from the Sheraton.
$5 for 12 hours.
Parked at the Sheraton, 8 a.m. Go down to the registration room, 8:04, we get in line. By about 8:15, we have our badges pinned to us and are walking out of the registration room.
Yep. The one thing everyone told me that I talked about is that they got a lot better this year about getting people through. They had a thing where you go online.
You think she cares about that now?
All I'm saying is, I would rather have that experience than the opposite. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Screw you too, Pollyanna. I'm glad you lost the use of your legs at the end of the movie.
So, yeah. So, at about 8:15, we were wandering around trying to find the
Hyatt.
Conference. We went to the Hyatt, then we had to find the conference room, which... There's like 14 levels of shit that's going on in all five hotels.
In my mind, you're reenacting the Fellowship of the Rings while you're just traipsing through Moria.
We did see some nice elves on the way. They gave us bread. It was lovely.
I would have liked some bread because we had no breakfast that morning.
Yeah, really. It literally could have happened too. There were elves around. There were.
Lebanese bread.
Oh, yeah.
Just a small bite. Will last you for days.
They haven't seen the size of us though.
So it was fun because then we had to find the conference room, which you had to then go down to lower level one, and then you had to find the sign that said the embassy and international ballrooms this way, with the sign pointed down to lower level two, which then and to follow the signs. Which you then go down to lower level two, and you follow the signs to the other corner, like the diagonal corner of the floor, only to find a sign that says Embassy and International Ballrooms upstairs. Because the floor plan of the Hyatt, there is a giant blockade on lower level one that you cannot just walk across lower level one. you must go to lower level two, journey across through the maze.
I think it's another ballroom is what I think I discovered.
It's possible.
Ballroom? Like or is it the Balrog? It's a Balrog.
Oh, I love it.
And then we found the room. Sassy Bear tried to help us.
Yes, he was so nice. And he has our card, and maybe we'll hear from him someday.
That means they slept together.
When? No, actually, our friend Steve Mowry gave him our card.
So then we found that, and then we inadvertently found Artist Alley while trying to find this conference room. So I went back to Artist Alley. We all went back to Artist Alley at about 9:05, 9:03, roughly 9:05, somewhere in there. And the old Southern Black woman at the door was like, "It doesn't open till 10 a.m."
I'm so sorry, honey.
10 a.m.
No, 10 a.m.
Fuck this shit. I'm sitting down and playing a game on my phone with no reception we have down here.
Reception's ridiculous. All that good stuff. So we finally get to go into Artist Alley, where we met the lovely Drew Green, who we are going to have him on in a future episode. But in the meantime, you should check out his lovely new webcomic. If you go on Facebook, we did post a link to it, and it is delightful. So we met him.
Really super cool. The first time through, I didn't talk to him because I was busy talking to Danny Haas.
I mean, yeah, we had a nice time. It wasn't a huge Artist Alley. We saw Mark Bagley and his lovely daughter, friend of ours, Angie, I love seeing her every time we go to a show. Missed her this year, Heroes, but she's looking great, and she's crazy. I love her. She actually has a book that I am going to finish before we see her next, I hope, which is so far very interesting.
When it's broke, it's perfect?
Yes.
Well, the funny part, Artist Alley wasn't huge. There were some fun and interesting people over there, but it also then fed into the art show,
which was also kind of cool.
Because you had like Tom Fleming, and you had some other big artists that did pieces, and their vending was around the perimeter, and there was an entire section just for prints. So if you wanted to just get prints by these artists, then you went into this room and you could just buy the prints. Like, it was the cheaper versions. But if you walk through the center of the room, it was all their big pieces, either sculptures or paintings or whatnot, that you could bid on. So they were doing the auction, and then all they were selling their regular stuff around the perimeter of the room. And a friend of mine's brother was one of the featured artists, but I never got to see him there. So
that was Artist Alley, and then I went to my panel, had a lovely time. I'm actually going to be posting a YouTube. They let me record it.
Can I just say,
please?
I want to thank Steve Mowry for saving me, because I did not want to go to the Gene Wolfe panel. Not that I have any disrespect or any dislike for him. I don't know him at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big panel person to begin with. I sit through the panels that Brian moderates, one, to be supportive, and two, because they're at least a little bit closer to something I'd possibly want to hear about. So, okay, we get into the Artist Alley at 10 a.m. because they didn't open until 10 a.m., as Maya Angelou reincarnated so lovingly told us at the door. We go in 10 to 10:30. We walk around. At 10:30, Brian's like, okay, I'm gonna go get a spot in line for my panel. I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah, because I know people are just breaking down the doors.
There was a line sitting very peacefully.
Oh, six people.
Actually, honestly, you're right. It was six people. But I got in my spot, and we had a lovely discussion of Gene Wolfe and his works.
So Steve's partner, Jason, Steve was in a superhero film showing around the time that we were sitting downstairs waiting for the Artist Alley to open up. He's like, I should be done around 11. I'll come find you. Awesome. Cool. We end up in the same hotel. Out of five hotels, managed to end up in the same place. Great. His partner Jason went to a panel that started at the same time as the Gene Wolfe panel.
Jim Butcher.
No, the Jim Butcher one was before that.
Oh, okay.
And then he went to something ladies. We kept on calling it the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling panel. It was like something about ladies and writing. I don't know. Magical ladies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because yes. Jason's big into, like, magic and writing and stuff like that. So Steve came down, found me. I'm like, I'm sitting outside of Artist Alley just doing nothing. So they found me. We walked around. We went and talked to Drew. Went and checked out the art show, did all that stuff. And then eventually, the same time that their panels got out at the same time. So after a couple of debacles trying to get in touch with each other because first off, you're in a multi-level hotel that goes below mm-hmm. ground. Mm-hmm. And two, you have 8 gazillion people in the fucking city, mm-hmm. all in their cell phones.
Yep.
So we couldn't find each other readily, and then eventually made our way, and then we spent a good chunk of the rest of the afternoon with them.
Text messages are actually sent through the Pony Express.
I almost sent a fucking carrier pigeon because I thought it would have been faster.
I was about to set a signal fire. Just be like, I'm here. So after lunch, which was, you know, nice, there was a brief jaunt through the America's Mart, whatever, which was the flea market. Yeah.
The flea-infested mart, what?
By this point, Pat had about had it because it was very crowded and very hot and very not so good smelling. And
I was okay. But my whole thing is, this was my big issue. That's why when Eric first got here tonight, because mind you, you guys won't know this, but we're recording on Monday, which is Labor Day. We literally got home 3 hours ago from Atlanta, like from Georgia. We got on the road about 11 a.m., got back about 5:40. So it's been a long day. But it wasn't so much that I was fed up at that point. I wanted to palm people's heads and just push them out of my way because people are annoying and ridiculous and rude. My biggest issue with Dragon Con is the fact that it's so spread out. When we go to Heroes, and not really MegaCon because we haven't had that experience yet where Brian's wanted to go to panels at MegaCon. But you can't, like, I have no problem when he goes to panels at, like, Heroes. He'll be like, oh, I've got this panel and this panel. And that could be that could be 3 hours because they're not regulated to an hour time slot. Like, Dragon Con, that's the one thing I'll say is that their panels are 11:30 to 12:30. 1 to 2. Like, they have time slots and that's what they stick to. So that's great. But I have no problem if he wants to go away for 2.5 hours to a couple of panels that I don't really have any interest in, because I can just be downstairs wandering around Artist Alley or going over to the vendors and buying shit that I really shouldn't be buying or bothering the Nerdy Show
people.
Taking pictures, going to have some delicious fried chicken fingers, you know, stuff like that. At this con, you can't really do that because, one, you run the risk of not finding each other, because I was so damn hungry at 1, because 11:30 to 12:30 was the panel. It was 1 and change, or almost 1:15 by the time we found each other. 45 minutes after the panel was done.
Yeah.
You run the risk of not being able to find the party that you're with. If you don't have keys to a vehicle, you're not sure, like, if you don't really have a place where you're like, okay, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be at this corner or this floor or this room, you can't really take the chance that you can be in two separate places, three hotels away.
Yeah.
So the thing I have basically realized, and I have a couple friends who did that, have done that for years, is for Dragon Con, more so than other shows, but definitely for Dragon Con, the key is to have a room on property in one of the hotels, because then, at the very least, if you need to get away, you can really quickly and get right back in. And it's a place of common, like, meet. All right, let's meet back at the room. So if you are interested in Dragon Con, even if this may dissuade you from, you know, going, I hope not, because I may try to go back in the future.
I hear it's the Mardi Gras for nerds.
Well, and then that's the other thing. We did not get the full experience because we did not stay past 6. And from what everyone has told me, the parties at night are where it's kind of crazy. In fact, a friend of ours who lives in Atlanta said, it used to be a freaking all-out orgy at times. Like, it gets crazy, at least in the past. I didn't see anybody I knew from Orlando. Anybody. And I had...
Everybody was there, but
I know. But because it's so big and spread out, and a lot of times some of those people, they're just like, they're doing their cosplay thing. They're hanging out at parties. Now, I do want to talk about one more panel. They had an LGBT panel on magic, and it was something like, it was called that, like LGBT.
Ileana Rasputin.
Magic.
Almighty ISIS. ISIS.
Oh, if only it had been about that. Instead, it was basically,
you have to believe we are magic.
If it had been Xanadu, we would have been in better shape.
If it were Xanadu, I'd have been there.
It was ostensibly about fantasy authors and writers and fantasy fiction that deals with LGBT issues. Now, they did spend a lot of time talking about gender fluidity and cisgender and all that, and which, honestly, we just had Stephanie on last week's episode. I am very sensitive to that issue, but it does not speak directly to me. And the panel was not about, at least at first, just that. But the conversation, that's pretty much all it went to. So it was about fantasy works that people were, you know, inspired by.
In my mind, I just created a story about, like, gay wizards. And it just evolved into, that bitch's glamour is not on point. And they just proceed to read you, but they read you with a grimoire, and then, like, demons come to collect your soul. Set in a magical school.
Can we work this into something? Because there's something there. I love it. Drag queens and wizards.
You better lip spell for your life. We did see pictures posted of some great 90s X-Men cosplay.
Yes. Yeah, like, one of the, sort of a friend of a friend, Pat Loika, he does the Loika Mania podcast. He's a photographer, and his big thing is getting a lot of X-Men-centric photography, and it's up on Facebook. We'll put a link up to it. It's excellent. Like, the stuff that you don't see, that, you know, you just, if you're just going, especially for a day or two, and you're just in one hotel, there's so much cosplay. It is such a rich culture, and not just your X-Men, but your X-Men with a modifier, steampunk X-Men, X-Men roller derby, thug X-Men, like whatever weird like spin you want to do on these different types of characters, they've got it. A friend of a friend, actually one of friends of Steve, Steve and Jason, had Hit Girl steampunk with this giant dress and this like leather and corset, and then on the back of her dress had these like shelves where she kept her weapons. Wow. Yeah, and she was a fan favorite. I'm getting a look.
No, I'm so glad that you kind of had a sort of good time.
Well, we had a good time, even if our Dragon Con experience wasn't, you know.
I won't say I liked it.
Oh, boy.
What on a Brian approval rating scale?
There's an asterisk there. No, we had a good trip, but I would say Dragon Con is just one of those cons you really have to. And you know what? I've also been told this. The first year you go, it's going to be a mess. You're not going to know what you're doing. But subsequent visits, and especially if you stay downtown within presumably walking or Uber distance, it's not bad, and you can do it.
You didn't stay in the hotel, did you?
We stayed about 20 minutes north because hotel rooms, when I decided, we decided very late. We missed the cutoff for the pre-registration. I mean, you know, it was
there was like, no prepay or anything by the time we did all this.
Those rooms, 10:01 goes on sale. Yep. 10:01 and a half. Bitch, you out of luck.
I'm sure it's there even now. Yeah.
Right. We went to breakfast this morning with Steve and Jason before we headed back down. And then this is my last comment on Atlanta, and then I have to go to work, was we were at the Flying Biscuit, and there was this waitress who appeared to be transgendered, or in some way, shape, or form, male identifying female. You could tell in kind of appearance, clothing, although, you know.
Headscarf.
But he was wearing this leopard headscarf-ish. It wasn't a scarf. It wasn't a do-rag.
Was it? Was it a turban?
It looked like a saggy turban in a sense. Like it wasn't layered.
Oh, no, like a beret, like a oversized
beret. Oversized beret. Beret.
What Sway would wear. I got you. I know where you are.
But without all of those dreads. Yep. You know, not that big. It was much smaller, but it was leopard print with some gold film, like reflective, like aviator-ish glasses on top of her head. And I look at Brian and I go, I feel like we're in the beginning of a Beyonce video where she is waiting on tables. She's going to take the glasses, put them on, rip off the hat. It's going to be fucking like crazy big wig. She's going to hop on the table. Drop the partition, please. Like, and then it's just going to be this whole like other waitresses are going to hop up and be her backup dancers. It was that, or she was going to go put money in a jukebox, kick off her shoes and start singing Something's Got a Hold of Me, and then hop a bus to Hollywood and star in a burlesque show. Oh. One of those two were the scenario that was running through my head.
It pleased us to think that.
I think the Beyonce was more likely. Overall, I love Atlanta.
Yay, Atlanta. So, that was Dragon Con for us. We will have pictures of some of our associates and friends. Paul, the comic book geek, was there.
Paul Charles?
Yep. Aiden Roberts, dressed as Slutty Finn from Adventure Time, and Slutty Mario was there and looking appropriately slutty. Not sexy Mario. His words, slutty bottom Mario. Yes, he found a lumberjack fin and then a Yoshi that he rode later. It was there's some good pictures. It's some fun.
Rode hard.
And Neon Glogo Bear, like a go-go dancer. He was there at the Spectrum party. He's done some great like photo shoots. Days of Future Past with like he's like Wolverine and it looks great. So really, really fun. That's Dragon Con. And moving on, we're going to talk
about nothing. We're done. So yes. Thank you so much. Very Flame special.
honestly, we spent a long time talking about Dragon Con because, quite honestly, we have not a lot of content. My brother is out doing his little fantasy football league pick. That's his.
Wait a minute, the draft. Oh, drafts are different times. So, yeah.
Is it 9?
It should have been yesterday, but
we do.
I know about sports.
Sports. No,
it's sportsmen.
So, there have been a lot of movies over the summer. Yes. I have only seen a couple. I guess one thing we could do is just quickly go around and say, "Oh, what's our favorite?" And why
you
do we
know
like
what
it?
My favorite
you
is.
You know what my favorite is.
Okay.
They
can't be the same.
No, it has it's to be. Cuz it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. You know what my favorite movie is.
My favorite movie was.
Oh, okay.
My favorite movie
is. Oh, you know what?
But
see, the thing is, like, that was so far.
It seems like 40 years ago.
Okay, so it's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
But they're both amazing movies.
Yeah, so Oral's is.
Guardians, of course.
Right, and we spent a lot of time talking about that. I still
know. And how you were wrong.
I'm sorry.
After I saw the movie, I don't understand how you and your brother could think that was a bad movie.
No. Here's the thing. I never said it was a bad movie. My brother had a bit more of a charged feeling about it. I just said there were problems.
Problems, even though it's made the most
outdid Captain America.
He refuses to admit that he liked the film.
Uh-huh. Because you're a contrarian.
He doesn't want to say that he liked it. Because there were parts that he didn't like about it. So he wants to remain ambiguous in whether or not he liked it. There is apparently no scale where it says, like, okay, if I 75% liked this film, then I liked it. Mm-hmm. There were things I didn't care for about it, but I liked it.
The only thing I didn't care for, I wanted Ronan to be bigger.
Well,
that's it.
And I love Lee Pace, too. But here's the thing. I will see it again, and I will then give my judgment, like or dislike. We had a long conversation about this.
Guardians was fantastic.
It was so
it
much
gave
fun.
Me everything it I could have ever wanted.
Made the most of any Marvel movie, I believe, mm-hmm. now, officially. $700 million international and domestic.
No.
I read an article today or yesterday that said it had surpassed Winter Soldier.
It surpassed
Winter Soldier
domestically.
Yeah. Not worldwide.
Oh, I heard both.
Worldwide, it's having some issues because there's not that name recognition, but it's made the most out of any movie this.
No.
What?
It's made. No, they're estimating that it's going to come in about 650 to 700 million total.
Okay.
It hasn't opened in Germany,
okay.
Italy,
oh,
and I think
yes.
one
yes,
other
yes, yes.
market yet. It's going into this weekend, it was at, I think, about 280 domestic, and I think it was about 250 in the global market.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so,
I only
no,
saw the
it,
domestic
it's,
one.
It's up there.
Okay.
I think... It passed Winter Soldier. There's only like four movies right now that it's actually behind, total wise, like the Avengers, the original Iron Man, and I think maybe the first Captain America. Like, there were like four movies that it had listed from in the article that I was reading. But they're saying that once everything settles, once the other markets open up, that it's looking to bank easily 650 to 700
wow.
worldwide.
That's fantastic.
Total.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
So very successful. Obviously, I'm wrong. But I will
and
admit
a brother.
I can't speak for my brother now.
I can. Well, he's wrong.
Now
I agree.
I like Eric's choice more, I believe.
My choice is the X-Men.
Of course.
Because I love my X more than anything, but Bryan Singer coming on erased the atrocity that was X3.
Oh, thank God.
And he showed me Wolverine's butt. But mm-hmm. the atrocity of X-Men 3, and then of course was my beautiful return.
Oh,
in my red,
I shed a
fuck
tear.
Me red wig.
Yeah, I'm naturally red. I really like. I can't pick either one of those just because they've been taken, not because I don't like them. Well, you know, always one of them. But the one I would say
that's harsh
is Wish I Was Here, because that's the one that I was the most surprised by. That's the Zach Braff film we talked about.
Which one?
Wish I Was Here.
Nobody cares.
No, you should, because...
Is that like, should I stay if I'm in a coma?
No. It is about growing up and accepting responsibility for family, and it spoke to me...
Oh, that hits too hard. So fun. Well, so
it spoke to me, and it was very funny. It had Mandy Patinkin, it had Zach Braff, and...
You didn't tell me it had Mandy Patinkin in it.
I didn't know
Mandy
that
until
I saw it. No, and it had cosplay, it had
I
some Comic-Con
stuff.
I fuck
him and Gary Sinise.
Wow. Really?
I have a thing for Gary Sinise.
Mandy Patinkin, I understand. Gary Sinise, we have to part ways. I'm sorry. I just can't.
With it or without the legs.
Oh, speaking of, and I don't know if this was a summer movie. In fact, I think it wasn't.
Which one?
The Grand Budapest Hotel. There is a guy at the Dragon Con that cosplayed as the lobby boy. Have you guys seen Grand Budapest?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's basically one of the main characters, like the protagonist, the narrator. It's him. And it was amazing. I took a picture of him and I told him, I'm like, thank you. This made my con, seeing this, you know, Wes Anderson cosplay, which, you know, you don't see very often. All right. So that's movies. Now, movies coming up. I just heard Bob Mondello's movies that are to come this fall. The ones I guess I'm excited about are the kind of the obvious ones. The new Hunger Games.
Oh, I saw the first one and it wasn't too shabby.
No, they're good. I
saw Divergent this weekend.
Oh, how was it?
I watched the beginning on a plane and I was like, this is a little more interesting than I thought at first.
Yes, exactly. But
doesn't sustain it.
No.
It's all right. Once you've seen one dystopian, you've seen them all.
That's what it looked like.
But Pop Culture Happy Hour did this really awesome take on it, and I find that their assessment of it is really right. Like, in a world where, like you get separated into factions based on, like, what you're good at. You know, Dauntless is, like, the physical, like, police keepers. And then Candor is, like, the truth tellers. And Erudite are the smart ones. They're like, oh, like, you're born into these factions. And that's the way you grow up. But you can make a choice into what faction you go into. Mm. Regardless of what this, like, really fucked up aptitude test tells you, but you still get a choice. And it's like, that's not, like, whatever.
Well, I do want to see, and that sounds kind of like The Giver, which I have not seen.
I don't want to see that.
Because you think it'll just be bad?
I think it'll be bad.
See, I feel like The Giver is one of the very first.
Oh, wait, is that the Meryl Streep one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's based on a very well-known and old, like, dystopia. It's kind of the first one of these young adult dystopian novels.
Yeah, my niece had to read it for school.
Yeah, a lot of people do, and it's an excellent novel. It's fairly straightforward, but there's some really cool stuff. And, I mean, the people in it, Jeff Bridges in it, Meryl Streep's in it, Weinstein Brothers are producing. Like, it should be a lot better. But
right.
People said that it came too late, that it was too much like these other works that have actually been written since Lois
right.
Lowry wrote it, and they just never made a movie. So I don't know. I want to see that at some point. But some other fall movies. Did you guys see the trailer for Birdman with Michael Keaton playing a washed up
actor?
No, I
heard about it though.
Who played this a winged superhero, basically a dark winged vengeful superhero who's like,
I love the cartoon.
Well, it's not the cartoon, but it's kind of like a more postmodern take on this actor that played Batman for a lot, you know, and he did and his life afterwards, and he hears like the voice of the character, and it kind of starts to drive him crazy. It looks funny.
My marriage.
There's a couple other really interesting, like there's one that's like a continuation of Wuthering Heights that was surprising. Like it's like Darcy, is that, am I doing the right one?
No, that's not Wuthering Heights.
Oh, no, that's Wuthering Heights. That's
Pride and Prejudice.
So it's like a sequel of sorts.
I'm not.
To that.
You know what? This is going to sound really strange because I love adaptation.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm a Jane Austen like purist. If I would have gone to grad school,
yeah,
I would have focused on Jane Austen.
Okay.
I don't broke these.
Well, but this isn't
like
one of those like
Pemberton,
ridiculous.
Like, no, I just it just
that's
doesn't.
Death Comes to Wembley or something like that. Anyway, P.D. James, who is an author I've heard of, it's meant to be a sequel, but it sort of like kind of turns the original on its head and kind of like reanalyzes it or
yeah,
kind of
no,
explores it.
I know.
And, you know, I mean, I don't, I'm interested in that. I love like Grendel, you know, seeing like the tale of Beowulf spun from like the other perspective. And that's more of a not sequel, but I like that idea that you can play with an existing work and kind of analyze it. Anyway, there's a movie back coming out. There's actually a bunch of movies that sounded kind of interesting. Surprisingly, no comic book movies in the fall.
They're all summer now.
Yeah.
Spring and summer.
That is even like Sin City, which none of us saw that.
Oh my God, I don't care.
I had a spring awakening moment just now. Oh. I'm sorry, what were we talking about?
Sin City, Dame to Kill For. I actually, I like the original one. You know, even though Frank Miller's a bit crazy, I kind of still like his work, and I'd like to see it at some point, but I've not heard.
I didn't see Transformers.
I actually want to see Turtles just because I'm a big Ninja Turtle fan. My brother was a huge Ninja Turtle fan. And, you know, a lot of people said that it's better than Transformers. It's not that it's good. They still think, even though it was kind of, you know, whatever.
You know what's better than Transformers?
What?
Roadkill. Oh. Oh. When you set the bar low.
No, it's true.
When you're limboing.
It's true.
And you
true.
Set the bar so low, you can't possibly go under. You just step over.
I just hate Megan Fox as Turtle, yeah, so I have to wait for so I can fast forward through her fucking
Well, and that's what you could do. You just kind of get the good stuff. And then the only movie that I definitely want to see is Interstellar, which is the new Chris Nolan.
You know, I don't understand what it's really about. Well, it looks interesting.
Ostensibly.
Oh, where they travel through
space.
Yeah,
to find another
place
to live.
Because the Earth is like, there's no more food being produced because the environment's so polluted and everything that they have to go out into interstellar space to find a new home. But there's more going on because the trailers, they give you a little bit of that.
Right, exactly.
There's
weird stuff. The stuff they show, I'm like, okay, but there's got to be more to it.
There is.
Ryan, I'll totally go with you.
Okay, because Chris Nolan, he's one of my favorite directors. I think it's Chris. It's Christopher Nolan.
Chris Nolan.
I love his Batman trilogy, and I love Inception. So I'm a big sci-fi, you know, obviously. So.
Exactly. That's all I picture Interstellar being.
So those are our favorite movies. If you have other movies that you want to, like, if you're excited about, you want to share with us, trailers, whatever, please go to our Facebook and share them with us, because I love when we have users interact with us, either on Twitter or Facebook or email.
Especially when you're cute.
Especially when you're cute. No, any of it. And you can actually post on our Facebook wall, and we'll see it. And if we really like it, because it kind of like hides those from most users, we'll repost it and we'll share it. So if you're interested and want to share something with us, please do. Flame On Show on Facebook and other social media outlets. So, television.
We have a lot this fall.
We will be doing a special podcast, a special microsode, where we will delve a little deeper than we normally do into shows that we've really enjoyed recently. Probably in the next couple months, we got to find a hole in the schedule. But real quick, one I want to mention is Halt and Catch Fire. My brother told me about it.
Catch Fire.
What's it called?
Halt and Catch Fire.
No, Catch Fire is a gay way to say go to hell.
Oh, is it really?
Well, it's a.
Oh, I never knew that.
A married to medicine way to say catch fire, go to hell.
I like that. I may use that too. Well, so this is real quick, and then my brother and I, because we just finished the season, we'll talk about it in this episode we do. It's '80s, early '80s, birth of the PC market. You know, IBM's out there. Mac just comes out by the end of the series. And it is all about a team trying to build another personal computer that people are going to love. And it was excellent. And Lee Pace is the main guy in it. And he plays kind of like Christian Bale from American Psycho.
Oh, God.
Unhinged, like corporate. But more than that, but just... And there's lots of 80s music. And it's set in Dallas in the 80s. But it's shot in Atlanta, which is kind of interesting. but it looks like pitch perfect. I mean, I grew up in that era. It's set in 83, I think, is the main year because it ends in 84. The Return of the Jedi is out. They have a thing about that. I mean, if you are into computers, if you are interested in that kind of stuff, you got to check it out. And it was on AMC. It just ended about a month ago.
Okay, so I'm waiting for it to come on Netflix.
It is on Amazon. That's how I watched it. But feel free to wait any of that. But before we get into what we're excited about for the fall, because there's a lot of that, there is a new show that has just started. In fact, a new season of a show.
Should I go pee? I'm going to go
pee.
Very
important.
I know what this is
about. Eric actually watched part of it.
I watched it. So I'm going to go pee.
Wait, before we start that.
You haven't seen it, have you?
No, I have. Of course I have.
Both?
Shut your dirty, filthy mouth.
Both episodes?
Yes.
All right, good.
Before we start that,
yep.
I'd like to give a PSA.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen. Or probably more gentlemen than ladies. But ladies and gentlemen, some people may tell you to watch a certain show about vampires. I'm here to tell you, I have come to the end of it. And I must warn you, don't fucking watch True Blood. It's trash.
Oh, that's right.
The final
I saw the last
of
episode.
True Blood was bad. There were good parts in it. And I'll tell you this. It wasn't about Bill. It wasn't like one or two episodes were about Eric and Pam that I really liked, but Sookie, the whole Sookie Bill like resolution, I hated.
Oh, can I talk about Sookie for a minute? You know what I want to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Wait. Spoilers. There will be spoilers.
No, this is not a spoiler. Uh-uh. Okay, so my husband has been watching. How long has it been on, True Blood? How many years?
Seven seasons.
Okay. We're watching it. And he's like, wow, True Blood wasn't nominated for anything in the Emmys. How do you think that makes these actresses and actors feel? I'm like, well, Sookie wasn't nominated for anything for the X-Men. Who was she in the X-Men? Okay. This is coming from his husband who worships the X-Men. I'm like, honey, that was Rogue. So he sits back and he's looking at it. He goes, oh my God, it's Rogue. 7 years later, my husband just put together that Rogue is in True Blood.
Wow. Well, it doesn't help in the most recent X-Men that she was basically cut from the movie, right?
Come, it's living with me. How many times are the fucking X-Men movie on my house?
Yeah. Sure, actually.
No, like, the only
let's
part...
do spoilers, though, because I...
Well, yeah, we can get there.
I want to know... I'm a lapsed True Blood fan.
Good. Yeah. Don't go back.
I watched through season 2, maybe 3. I saw Alcide, and that was where I was like,
you didn't hit the witches one, did you?
Yeah, no, that was the one I stopped on. I think it was during
the witches one I stopped.
Okay. I mean, I made it through most of it. I think there's a few episodes left. And like I said, I saw really Alcide, and I like Alcide a lot. Well, first of all, I heard they killed off Alcide, like, episode 2, 3, like, pretty early. I mean, they killed Tara. Finally, right?
This is what pisses me off about True Blood and why I realized, when I realized they, like, this season was going to be awful, except for Arlene. The Arlene storyline.
Uh-huh. Oh, she was fabulous.
Yeah, I loved her because every time I think of, like, her, I'm just like, I can't die here. I got kids. but they killed Tara off screen.
What?
And whenever, yeah.
They cyclopsed her?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
not cool.
And the thing about it is, they brought her back for this really drawn-out story arc that could have been done in, like, 2 episodes. But they dragged it out for, like, this secret that's not even a secret. And I'm just like, this is awful. Like, you don't... Like, none of this is giving you closure. And the problem I've always had with True Blood is that the beginning of the season is great. And then they get muddled in all of these, like, side stories. And instead of, like, forcing their characters to deal with stuff, they're just like, and here's a hodgepodge stew of, like, the last final episode of the season, where 30 minutes is the resolution. Uh-huh. Then they do a time jump, and then they're like, okay, and this is where we're going to leave you for a cliffhanger. Usually that's the way it works. The problem with this season is that they didn't have that, you know, option of next season. This was it. And they just dragged out this, like, Sookie Bill story arc that, you know, I don't care about. And so, a lot of people didn't.
So Bill is no longer immortal, God, whatever, Lilith, none of that.
AIDS went around, they really,
it's the problem that I have, and this is not to say that there isn't a place for it, but they did this, like, analogy of, like, Hep B, which is, like, this, like, engineered virus that humans, like, are carriers, but they're not affected by, and vampires get really sick and they eventually die. Okay. It's AIDS. They put AIDS in True Blood.
Of course they did.
And they really, like, hammered home this message about,
so Bill,
you know,
caught Hep B?
He caught the Hep B from Sookie because they weren't careful.
Well,
and then he's like, I want to die. I feel more human now that I blah, 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 bullshit. And then they did this time jump where the thing is. Here's the thing. You realize that everybody who's still alive gets a happy ending. Even Jason Stackhouse, who doesn't learn anything.
Nope.
Jess and Hoyt get back together, even though they never admit that they mind rape him.
And the last, 10 minutes of the show? Like, yeah. They're the wedding.
They're getting married. And then, to add insult to injury, Sookie, like, closes the chapter on Bill. Whatever. I get it.
Well, because he dies.
Yeah. No, she kills him.
Okay. No. Okay. Wait. Okay. That whole thing that happens. All right. So she couldn't use her blast powers to kill him.
Mercy killing?
Yeah, it was like he wanted it. So this whole thing couldn't happen. So I'm watching this. So instead she stakes him and blood goes all over. I'm like, oh, because that's not going to leave a scar. She's covered head to toe like Carrie and Bill, and but the blast wouldn't have scarred her.
And
you know,
I'm and like, she closes. She closes this like pine box 1880s coffin from the Civil War. It's his coffin. It's his grave.
Oh.
And then she like covers his grave by hand in dirt, and then we realize that, you know, a couple years later, Bill and Pam are super rich. They're together, which we don't care about.
Bill and
they've
Pam.
Always. I'm sorry, no. Eric.
Oh.
And then they're like on the like Forbes list, and like they're a part of the stock market with New Blood, which is pretty much Truvada. And then like I shit you not. And then like Sookie does this like Thanksgiving dinner with the good vampires and their like human lover counterparts. And she's pregnant because she's gotten married, we assume. But you never see her husband's or like baby daddy's face because he's not important. He's not important. That's the thing that makes me mad about True Blood. Everything we went through is not important because she married or got knocked up by some random ass fuck. And it's just, it's garbage. It's garbage. It's garbage. Don't watch it. It's garbage.
Well, now you don't have to. You know what happens. And that's what we've done
and
for you.
And that's the end of
You're
it.
Welcome.
Okay, so now.
You're welcome.
Do what you need to do.
Now I can go pee.
Doctor Who.
All right. So, a lot of consternation with this new doctor being older.
Mm-hmm.
People were a little freaked out online, somewhat. Some people were cool. I was cool, certainly. Peter Capaldi, I'm saying his name right. And Jenna, I can never say her,
Coleman.
I want to say Jenna Louise from the fourth doctor, but brand new doctor, old companion from the previous incarnation. What do we think of his first episode, Deep Breath? This was an 80-minute episode they showed in theaters. It was a big production. It introduced the new doctor. It reintroduced Doctor Who to everybody after however many months off. What did you think?
I thought it was a really good episode to start with. I love that they gave me a lot of the creepiness that we got in the Matt Smith era. With the, like, you know, the faux restaurant that's really just harvesting organs. For me, the villains are forgettable, but sometimes Doctor Who villains are forgettable. It's about what's happening with the characters that we love. I love that even with the old characters that they brought in, the fan favorites.
Yep, the Paternoster gang. Madame Vostra, the lizard lady, her wife, Jenny, who's her wife or her maid, depending on who you are talking to. But basically, it's her wife.
Mm.
And Strax, of course, the nice or at least reformed Santarin associate.
Yeah, and they give you all of those, like, old touchstones to tell you, like, this is the new person.
They mention Rose, or not Rose, Amy.
Uh-huh.
There's little, we'll get to that. Little, like you said, touches of the previous incarnation throughout the episode to kind of anchor you and go, okay, you guys. And this is where, like, Pat and I talked about this. They do this intentionally. Moffat has said he wanted to make sure, and this has happened in previous regenerations, that especially people who are maybe younger, they're reassured.
I'll take it from here.
Okay.
It's the new Whovians that are the problem.
Okay.
Because we've gotten everything we've ever wanted. You know, in the Christopher Eccleston, like Matt Smith, David Tennant eras, and we've never had a doctor this old. But I remember watching the old Doctor Who episodes.
Yep.
You know, even though I don't watch them now because I'm just like, here I am in the present, I don't really need to go back. If I want to go back and I have that wave of nostalgia,
so
be it. But the thing is, I'm used to seeing different doctors. We're all used to seeing different doctors, but the age is very drastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's trying to keep all of those, you know, on the surface, it's all the girls who want, you know, who
their
say
boyfriend.
They love Doctor Who.
They want a boyfriend.
They want their boyfriend, yeah.
And they make that very explicit in one of the speeches.
But it's more
the new
than
doctor
that.
Is not your boyfriend.
Yeah, and it's more than that. It's that youth that Doctor Who doesn't always portray. It's portrayed in these past, like, 6-7 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we're on the 7th, right?
8th.
8th, yeah, so 6th, 7th, debatable with Christopher Eccleston. And so we're having this to see that, you know, it is still the Doctor.
Yes.
And I'm just like, yes, we get it. And they really hold the viewer's hand throughout that first episode.
They go so far as, and I mean, we've been spoiling and we're going to continue spoiling from here on out. They even go so far as to have Matt Smith's Doctor call as Clara is sort of not sure. She's been hanging out with him.
This has one last, don't leave us. Yeah. We need your money.
Basically like, hey, this is, you know, that's me. It's okay. He needs you right now. He's really scared. And a lot of people, I mean, like, they go, oh, Matt Smith, we love it. Oh, yeah. And that was fine. I was fine with that. But what really touched me was after that. Because basically, they're just out of the TARDIS. Clara's cell phone rings. It's Matt Smith. It's the 11. He's about to regenerate before she goes and finds him. And, you know, they have like a little talk. And the new Doctor, 12, comes out and is like, is that the Doctor? And then you hear Matt Smith, is that the Doctor? And so there's this kind of cute little timey-wimey, you know, whatever. But then once she hangs up, the new Doctor says, you know, what's the answer? Like, because he basically asked her to stay with him. And she's like, how did you know? And why were you listening to our conversation? Or, you know, something like that. And he's like, you don't see me. You see something else, but you don't see me. That was me. I just did that before I regenerated. Like, the Doctor is a continuous person, even if his incarnations are distinct personalities. But that, to me, that you don't see me, and how crestfallen he was, and how, I mean, that to me is the core of the problem. And it really hit home with me, because in our life, we do change. We're different people day to day, or at the very least, we're different people, you know, year to year. We change. And there are people in our life that either come in and out, or are with us constantly, that will someday look at us and go, I don't know who you are anymore. Because they have just either, you know, had this mental model that has been updated, and they just haven't seen the change. Or one day that change just smacks them on the face and says, look, I'm not the same person anymore. And that was really poignant to me. So I think at the end of the day, that it was sort of a message to the fans who were maybe on the fence about it. They made a lot of jokes about being old. This was the thing. The new tone of the new episodes, and we'll talk about the second one here in a second. It is darker. It is more mysterious. There's an intent to make the Doctor mysterious again, not just this really nice bloke who always saves the day.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's still manic. It's still funny. It's got humor. It's got, you know, interesting relationships, and I mean, it's Doctor Who through and through. So I was very relieved, even though it's a darker tone. What do you think of the very end with Missy?
I should say
Mary Poppins.
Yes, I am hoping that she is new master.
So that's one theory. That's so one Missy theory, yes. Mistress Master. So it's possible that she's the Doctor's, you know, nemesis. We also have people who speculated, because basically this chick shows up out of nowhere. She's got like this beautiful garden, and the main villain in this first piece, who's a clockwork. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
He falls to his death. Maybe the Doctor pushed him. Maybe he jumped. Who knows? But he then materializes, or just wakes up, and is in this place with this Mary Poppins character named Missy. And she's like, you're in heaven. How, you know, oh, so you know, this is the promised land. What did you think of my boyfriend? Or what did you think of my, I think it was boyfriend. And so there's some people speculating, of course, that it's like River Song sort of regenerated, or some sort of new thing with River Song. Some people have suggested it's like a TARDIS incarnated.
I don't think it's River, because she comes across, intentionally so, as is cruel and cold.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't care. And that leads me to what I like about what they're doing. Is that even though Clara pushes past her reservations about him, you know, superficially, she doesn't know him.
Right.
And he doesn't care anymore.
He doesn't know who he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
Right.
And that's what, like, when, you know, during Deep Breath, when she's like, you know, the Doctor always has my back, because he abandons her.
Oh, yeah. That was
and
tough.
She
that was
reaches,
like,
reaches back, and there's nothing there at first. You realize, I'm like, holy shit, like, he's lost what humanity he's gained.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about the first episode and the second episode is that...
So let's talk about the second episode. So it's called Into the Dalek. Uh-huh. And it literally has the Doctor in like a little farther future. You know, the humans are fighting the Daleks. He and Clara go inside. They get shrunk down. And they go inside a Dalek.
Fantastic voyage.
And they even make a joke about that. And basically, this Dalek is malfunctioning because all he is saying is...
Come along and ride on the fantastic voyage.
You're crazy. He's saying, kill the Daleks. He's basically realized, by watching a star being born, that the Daleks are out to destroy everything in the universe. And he sees this life prevailing and how futile the Daleks' mission is. So now he wants to basically stop them. So they're trying to go in and fix this problem, figure out what's going on. And so they repair them and then find out, oops, by repairing this fault, this like whatever, you know, whatever it was, like now he's back to the old school evil Dalek. So you get this whole playoff of, you know, why is the Dalek good or evil? Okay, what's causing that? And at the beginning of the episode, the Doctor asks Clara, am I a good man? So you have this kind of duality of both Dalek and the Doctor trying to figure out who they are, what their, you know, alignment is, if you want to borrow, you know, that terminology. But, you know, am I a good person or not? What's that?
Chaotic good.
Yeah. So you were saying, though, I mean, it sort of ties into that.
Yeah, and I like it. And you see that, you know, like he still has his issues and his prejudices. And like right now, he's still really raw. And Mr. Pink is so fucking gorgeous.
Oh, I know.
And
he is a very lovely man. So he is the new, well, from what people have said, he will be a new co-companion, which is kind of funny because he and Clara are both teachers at the school.
Yes, that, I know.
Which is kind of funny because the first two companions were teachers or whatever. But he is not a formal companion yet. In fact, one of the soldiers at the end of the episode basically sees the Doctor and, you know, sees her situation, says, I want to go with you. Please take me with you. And the Doctor is like, no, I don't take soldiers, or I'm really sorry, you're a great person,
I wish you weren't a soldier. Yeah,
wish you weren't a soldier. He has a historical thing as soldiers. Danny Pink is a former soldier, although there's some, you know, whatever in his past that's causing him to regret something, but it's going to be interesting seeing how that character eventually finds its way into the TARDIS and what that means.
Overall, the season's strong.
You like the second episode as well?
The second episode was all right. I've already said this on this podcast.
You don't like Dalek.
It's always the second episode where I'm just like, yeah, but this one wasn't so bad.
You know what? It had echoes of the Eccleston Dalek episode. In fact, yeah. I think this Doctor and...
Oh, yeah. No, beat for beat when they walk into a room and there's a Dalek there and it's not so bad. And then it turns out to be bad. But now this time, like, that's why I always have issues with the second episode. They don't know what they're doing. But overall, I'm excited to see Missy shows up again.
Yeah, so they're reintroducing this arc more than I thought they would, because I'm kind of like every episode.
Usually
there's
more subdued. But
yeah, and the next episode's Robin Hood or something. Yeah. Robin Hood. So it's good.
Eric, you watched it. What did you think?
I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck. Okay. The guy with the big vagina eye, and it's all messy and disgusting, and she was getting electrocuted with the fake tubing from Home Depot. I couldn't get into it. And the eight balls with the eyes that were electrocuting people, where they point blank weren't hitting anybody, but they were getting hit by it.
It's like G.I. Joe.
How is this happening?
It's G.I. Joe. They shoot at you, they don't get hit. Let's talk about that. I will say their production quality is years and far better than it ever used to be. But the scene where Clara's in the brain like control thing.
Oh, that
and
was
those
just
like
terrible.
What are that? Venting flexible duct stuff. Like it was just
custodial closet.
It was unfortunate that there was at least one scene where it was very obvious what it was. And anyway. Overall, production's good. You know, Doctor Who is alive again for another 13 episodes or 12 in Christmas or whatever. And we have a new Doctor, so yay. Oh, do you 13. Like the new opening? I meant to ask that.
You know what? The new openings always take some time to get used to, but I really like it.
It is slowly adjusting. Like, I didn't like it at first. I thought it was ridiculous. It's got clocks and all this other shit.
Yeah.
But for Doctor Who, it's a time travel show. It makes more sense.
And they're like space. The planets coming out of, like, the spiral.
Yeah,
and
the music's
like
a tweaked version of the thing. So anyway, so Doctor Who's back. The Nerdy Show people are going to be doing some more Doctor Who stuff, I found out. So there might actually be a microsode coming out soon. So stay tuned for that. Other fall TV. I know
I'm
excited.
Wait to follow that.
let me just cut to the chase. I probably will give Gotham 3 episodes.
Okay.
I probably won't watch Flash.
Really?
I can give you the first episode if you want to check it out.
The Flash or Gotham?
Here's the problem.
It's okay. It's not great.
It's not even
It's
that.
Fun, but it's not Barry Allen to me. It's right. Wally West.
But he's I thought it is Barry.
Huh?
But it is Barry.
But he's too twinkish and young. Yeah. I did like that John Wesley Slip, the original Flash,
is the dad
plays his dad.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's aspects that are interesting, but it is so CW or WB or however. I think we'll go WB Dawson's Creek.
Oh, wow.
kind of thing to it. So I'm like, it's going to do well, but it's not. I don't know how long I'll be on board.
I'm interested in seeing how they build out their cinematic, or if they're not cinematic, but their TV universe at the very least. And I do need to get caught up in Arrow, because Arrow's great, and I need to watch that.
Well, Arrow's point blank, Ra's al Ghul is the villain this season.
But is it going to be, what's his name? Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson says he wants to play, but I don't think he has the part. I think somebody else is.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Too expansive.
Well, yeah, there's that. We can't now, Constantine also is looking very good, although there might
be
issues.
For
they recast like the female lead, which
Who
was
Zatanna.
Was it Tana?
I can't wait for her to get dragged to hell and we just do it.
I'm excited about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back. Because, again, that show finished really strong.
And did you notice that Deathlok now in the comic books looks like the black guy?
I was just beside myself. But, you know, they are telling.
J. August Richards.
The old Deathlok is in the Invaders. I actually picked that issue up because I had stopped reading it. Because it has old school Deathlok.
Poor James Robinson. Yeah. You should have stayed on Earth 2, bitch.
Well, no, it got a lot better when he left. But all right.
Well, yeah, true. It did.
So, I don't know what other TV shows. Selfie, I'm excited about.
American Horror Story, Freak Show. We have Patti LaBelle coming aboard.
That's crazy.
And then Cher, because there was a trailer with Cher. So, I mean, but I haven't seen that she's in it, but there was a trailer with her. I showed her all. I was like, look.
That looks like Cher.
I love American Horror Story, don't get me wrong. My excitement is the fact that it's set in Jupiter, Florida in the 50s, and my family lives in Jupiter.
I don't know if I can watch this.
I'm just like, this
I'm
is going to be
interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like, the inbreeding thing just freaks me the fuck out, and that's all this freak show is going to be, is inbreeding.
Really?
They have the smallest woman in the world that Jessica Lange was holding, and I'm just like, she's like this big.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's American Horror Story. It's going to be crazy. We're going to love it. What other shows? Anything else exciting? I know there's like Brooklyn Love Story, I think, is one that Pat's excited about. That looks good. We're watching Garfunkel and Oates. Have you guys watched that?
I am super familiar with Garfunkel and Oates.
Holy fucking shit. It is like a female Flight of the Conchords, ridiculously funny and very raunchy.
Really?
And it's on right now. It's on IFC. And they're funny, and again, it's you know.
Oh, do you know what I watched three seasons of? That I'm like heartbroken that I'm going to have to wait years for it to come back?
What?
Sherlock.
You liked it?
I loved it.
I'm so glad you liked
loved
that.
Loved it. And I thought I had six episodes for the third season. I was like, oh, yay! And I go to hit episode four, and I'm like, what do you mean the behind the scenes crap?
Yeah, that's
behind
it.
The scenes crap. No,
you're saying it may not be back until the end of next year. Oh my God. You know, you should watch Luther. Have you seen Luther yet?
No. Well, I mean, I hear
watch
like
Luther.
But Oral talks about like Luther is good, but he's like, oh, so much murder.
I had to take a break. Haven't finished the final season
of
Luther,
but it's Idris Elba.
Like, and that's the reason why I want to watch it.
You can watch a lot of it because it's great, but I shit you not, me. Like the not pessimistic but realistic person, I just needed a break. It was just I felt so like depressed about humanity.
It is a dark show, but it's not similar to Sherlock. But if you like Sherlock, you might like
Luther. Yeah. No, you'll love Luther.
All right. Any other TV?
That's
all right,
no, not
let's
really.
Move on. Now I have not seen this video. This is our news section, our timely news section, but there is a video going around about a gay. A 20-year-old, I believe.
20-year-old that came out to his, like, what was it, Tennessee?
I couldn't do it.
But it was like, and he came out, and I watched it because everybody was telling me.
So why was it filmed? It was like
he did it because he wanted to show what their reaction
was.
Was
this like a
secret
hidden camera, or he had
a hidden camera. Oh. And his stepmother started hitting him, and his grandmother was cheering her on. They were beating him because he was gay. Beating him because he was coming out gay. And it was so horrific and so horrifying and so heartbreaking. to watch what this guy went through, trying to say, you know, it's like they were just damning him to hell, and you heard it in the way they were talking.
I just saw it posted, and like you said, I couldn't watch it.
I read the article, but
so he's okay. Like
he's okay now, staying with friends, and they're hoping that the family will go for counseling, and that's the last I heard about
it. Family needs to go for counseling.
Oh no, fuck that!
Not
this
poor boy. Yeah, seriously, and he's 20, so I mean, at least he's not, you know, stuck there. But
I could, you know, it just makes I'm like, oh my god.
Well, in good news, in good gay news, state of Florida is
What's so fucking good about it?
My mom actually said the same thing. It's kind of funny. But her reasoning was... because
she still has hope?
No. All right, real quick. My ex, who some probably have heard me refer to in the past.
What's his name? You don't have to tell us his name.
We just call him that guy now. He and I were domestic partners. We registered pretty quickly after Orange County had that. And then, what, about a year later, we broke up. And my mom reminds me when the gay marriage thing comes up, well, look what you missed. See, if gay marriage was legal, you would have been half your income and all this stuff about, you know, all this great. I'm like, great, Mom, thanks for that. But in theory, I still am very happy that the state of Florida – not only has had like three like regional courts overturn, you know, the I think it was the district courts also said, yes, we're overturning. And they told the state attorney general, Pam Bondi, who has been basically trying to, quote unquote, enforce the Constitution, whatever. I mean, it's her job, but I still think she's a bitch. But whatever. She's been trying to appeal and push this decision. Well, they've gotten it stayed, so no one could go out and get married right now. But basically, as soon as the state Supreme Court hears this, it will be decided for the state, and it doesn't look like this will be delayed any longer. So good news for a lot of gay and lesbian couples out there, both on the marriage side and on the divorce side
You know, this is going to sound very bitter.
Uh-huh.
I would care if I had a man, but I don't. So what the fuck does this have to do with me?
You don't have a man?
I mean, it's complicated.
Oh, no. Well, anyway, I'm very happy about that. Obviously, we are from Florida. We want to see our friends and fellow.
We don't. Yeah, we do. I'm done with weddings. I'm so happy for you.
There you go. Exactly.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. It is that time when we should talk about comic books. And I'll tell you right now. Our enthusiasm right now for comic books is sort of, you know, in between. We've enjoyed certain things and certain publishers, and some indie books have come out that have been cool. But really, it's kind of right now.
Everything's wrapping up. Everything seems like everything's about to really start for the, you know, now the summer's ending.
November.
And now the fall into the winter events are going to start up again.
But
we have Access coming from Marvel. What's DC doing?
Future's End.
No, but what's their event? Because, you know.
They're not doing an event right now. It's Futures End in September, and that's it. Until next spring, when they are doing something. There's the Band-Aid, they refer to it. When they're moving their offices, they're going to have some event.
Oh, that's right.
That's the whole rumor. They might bring back the old DCU as like another universe.
They're
whatever.
Not.
The only thing DC is doing right now that I'm excited about is Multiversity. Because this book has been promised.
Hey, Eric. Do you want to find a way to put ourselves in the DC universe and then go out into a desert?
I'm drinking over here.
We're just going to trip on peyote. Let's just trip on peyote. Let's commune with the motherhead, the godhead.
Captain Carrot. It's Captain Carrot.
Listen, Captain Carrot was in it for like about five pages.
He's in it prominently.
But I thought you
that
made it sound like.
He is on the cover and he is in it.
But
he's not just like.
Captain he's Carrot. One of the characters. There's many more. Black Obama Superman is also prominently featured in it. And he's great.
I love Shawanda Wonder Woman with her big hoop earrings with her star.
No, I love that.
It says Shawanda Shaniqua Amazonia.
All right, so here's the deal with Multiversity. If you've been under a rock or you haven't heard about this, Grant Morrison has been trying to figure out a way to really capstone his work at DC, explore some of the themes and characters he's introduced in the past, most specifically the guy, the Monitor, Nick Suotan, whatever, Final Crisis, and really kind of explore the multiverse.
Nick Suotan!
In DC, of which there have been over the course of however many years, all the Elseworld, those are all parallel universes. In Final Crisis, he had that Superman Beyond two part that had all the different Superman of all the different planets.
In 3D.
in 3D.
They did it in 2D, so it threw 3D at me.
Here's my thing about it, though. Well, the first issue came out, and it's basically just setting the stage. It introduces what Nick Suatan, as his role as the judge.
Super judge.
with his monkey assistant, which I don't know what that's referring. Somebody said that's a Valiant reference, and I was like, really? I don't know. But it shows a sneak peek at some of the universes, including the Captain Carrot universe, including the take on Marvel, which I thought was pretty funny.
No. See, here's the thing.
What?
When Hickman did it, it was really good. They had gravitas,
Hickman,
if you will.
Hickman was good. I think Grant Morrison is not trying to do what Hickman was doing.
No, but it's just like we're all punchy and like we don't care where you came from. You just appear out of nowhere. We're gonna attack you, which only happens.
Okay, back up. When you have a crossover in Marvel, what is the first thing they do?
Punch.
They fight.
But the thing is that like
DC too a little bit.
You know, you expect so much from Grant Morrison. And he's just boiled it down.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
You as in other people. Okay.
So it is the first issue. I know that they're going to build from here, and I know they're going to explore different universes. Most famously, they've talked about the Fawcett universe. They're going to have Captain Marvel and his family. They're going to do one that's set in the Watchmen or the, what's the company? Is it Fawcett?
I think so.
Anyway, they're going to have one that does the Watchmen stuff from his own perspective. But basically, what really was interesting to me is all the hype about this book is he's trying to do some kind of head trip, like
it's
put
meta.
You in the comic and
it's
meta.
Obnoxiously meta.
And I don't understand yet what he's doing or how it's working. But the one thing I did see, and he's talked about this too in interviews.
As you see, I'm playing with my phone, so I've lost interest in this conversation.
It is. Girl, you do that all the time when we're recording. I don't want to hear that. No, the one thing he has said, and I do like this conceit actually, is every universe sort of knows about each other because the comic books in their universe are about the characters in another universe. And this does fit in to Morrison's overall ideas about how stuff works because he does actually believe that ideas are just as valid as physical forms. And so when you have a character like Superman as an idea, it is more powerful in some ways than individual humans because it lasts for so much longer and is something that can be transmitted and changes and has power in people's lives. So all of this fits into what he basically has been doing throughout his career.
You know who also did that? Bill Willingham and Mike Carey and Fable.
Yeah, absolutely. And Grant and Alan Moore most recently when he did that Snake God story in God is Dead. Same idea.
That was actually really good.
It was really good.
That was fun.
But you know what? The thing is, okay, so take, for example, Mind Management. Really smart. Love
I
it.
I need to read it, but I haven't.
You
it hurts
should,
good. It hurts
because
good.
You'll love it.
Okay.
But the problem is like, with Mind Management, it's meta because it has to be.
Uh-huh.
And I don't find it obnoxious. Like, I get metatextual. Like, I get it.
Right.
I understand it. But if you're going to do it right. And I don't think he has.
I it's so early to say. The first issue was sort of.
Yeah, I know it's the first issue, but I've been through this again with him.
His meta thing is just.
How many issues is total?
I think it's like eight. Six?
Six and a couple more. Because next one is the society or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which girl. Hold on. From a logistics standpoint and a retailer standpoint, I thought we were going to have to add it as like a one shot. But it's not. It's a part of Multiversity.
Yeah, so whoever gets Multiversity automatically gets this.
They're gonna be a mess.
Uh-huh. I'll just make sure I call that morning.
See, you'll get it.
But no, I'm excited, and I want to say the meta thing, it can be done for laughs. The thing to point out in this is it is done to be somewhat like tongue-in-cheek in the sense that he's like poking at Marvel a little bit, whatever. But he is trying to really embrace this idea that all stories are equally valid and they're in the same collected universe. So I like that. I'm going to keep reading it. And I'll report back on it if it sucks.
Well, we'll still be reading it because we don't have a choice.
Now, other than that in DC, is there really anything?
Wonder Woman ended.
Wonder Woman ended? Did it end well?
No, two more issues?
Oh, it's ending.
Three more issues?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Oh, it takes
right
the hiatus.
Now, we're trapped in the...
Future's End.
Future's End 5 years later.
Yeah.
Which we don't really...
Which, it's written by Charles Soule, and it's her accepting the fact that she's the goddess of war.
Yeah, which
well, that's
is kind
cool.
of exciting.
And
yeah.
I still don't know why they didn't give Soule Wonder Woman, because he does write the best Wonder Woman outside of...
Because we need the ass in the face.
With Finch.
With the Finches. Yeah, yeah. We need the ass in the face.
Well, the ass in the face might get her some more readers. I don't know.
No.
But girl, you know we'll be selling that Wonder Woman from now until the end of time. Oh, I really love Wonder Woman. Here you go. Don't read anything else.
So Future's End, I have not been following very closely. However, I did see that they revealed who the masked Superman
is. Yeah, who Superman was.
It's actually Shazam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's Captain Marvel, but Shazam now. Whatever.
And then at the end, you know, then Kal-El shows up.
Which, that one shot I saw with the beard, I was like, oh, that's the stuff right there. You can keep Superman in a beard any day. I'll be good with that.
You know, I really like Azzarello. I do.
But it's a bunch of them. I just feel it's a big influx of Dan Jurgens in this.
That kind of waters it down, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's
like ice in a strong drink.
He's processing a lot, and I don't, like, we haven't gotten any payoff whatsoever. Like, and it's hard to read something that's weekly and to tell people, no, keep going. Because, like, we just don't know where it's going, and I'm bored.
Yeah.
And this is the stuff that I like. I like altered timelines. Right. I like going into the future. I like that, you know, this may have a repercussion, it may not.
Right.
And all of that doesn't matter, because here we are on Fantasy Island.
Grifter where... being shoved down my throat. And what's the girl's name?
50
Sue. 50 who the fuck cares?
52... 50 Sue. Constantine shows up, and I love Constantine.
So I don't know. There's aspects I like, and there's some parts that they're just shoving down my throat.
You know what I have like? Batman Eternal.
Really? Because they revealed, I guess, who the big villain is that is.
What? No. It may be the big villain, but you don't know who's pulling the strings. We just show you who this person is. Batman doesn't know who's pulling the strings, which means we don't know who's pulling the strings. Oh, I'd like to make a confession. So English majors have this thing where sometimes we put like list of books, we write off books that we haven't read, and we throw it in a hat, and we're just like, we find out I've never read Moby Dick. I've never read Great Expectations. As a comic book person, you know what I just recently read for the first time? Hush.
Really? Did you like it?
I like it, but it's old school 52. Like, I got the Batman and Superman animated series out of it.
Right.
Which, you know, it was good. I also read Black Mirror for the first time.
That was insane.
I love Black Mirror.
I like Black Mirror a lot.
Yeah. You know what I just read today?
What?
Long Halloween. Da 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 da. I read nothing.
Okay.
I like Long Halloween.
I like a lot of
till the end. Jeff,
I didn't read Dark Victory after it.
I didn't read that after it.
Yeah, but
but Batman's kind of interesting now. They are jumping Batman. What after the whole?
I want Damian. I like.
Oh, actually, I've been reading that. I picked up. I did the Alpha or no Omega. Robin Rises.
Yeah,
and then I got
Robin
that
Rises.
Batman and Robin with whatever. That's like part two, and I'm interested to see what they're doing.
The
Hellbat suit and going to Apocalypse.
Yeah. And Luthor's helping him, and I'm like,
It's very like, where the hell is this fit in continuity? That part of my brain is kicking in. But, you know, honestly, I've really enjoyed Tomasi over the years, and Gleason, the artist there, very underrated. He's really good at drawing Batman. But, yeah, the Snyder book after Year Zero wrapped up, which, you know, wrapped up pretty well. I enjoyed that. And they did the one-off with the art by Scalera from Black Science. That was great. They're going to jump to the end of Eternal and, I guess, show this new world that has, you know, what's her name? Catwoman's the kingpin.
Yep.
Bluebird is his assistant.
Is that her name,
Bluebird? Yeah, Bluebird. And some sidekick. Bluebird has a sidekick, which is probably her brother, but who knows?
Right.
And maybe a Robin something.
Well, there's an issue
unclear.
Of Batman and Robin coming that it's like Batman and Robins, and it's Barbara Gordon. Barbara Gordon, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, and Stephanie Brown all dressed as Robins.
Interesting.
And they're all like with him behind. So whatever's going on in Apocalypse, I guess they all join him.
I mean, that's going to be interesting. I love Damian. One of my favorite characters.
Oh, me too.
Probably one of the best additions that Morrison made to the Batman stuff. And you know, even though he died or whatever, I mean, it's the comic book character to come back. Superman, the John Romita Jr. You know, again, I like Romita's art. I really do. I think in this incarnation, there's some parts that were a little rough. I didn't care for. I don't like the character design of Ulysses, but I do like the story. And I like that Superman kind of has like a buddy who has a similar background,
right,
who seems to be good for the most part, but maybe is having some problems. And, you know, certainly he gets controlled by this other thing. And then the big mystery of who the person in shadow is.
To me, we're three issues in.
Yeah.
It honestly reads to me like a Christopher Reeve Superman movie.
Really?
That's the feeling I have. Because, boom, first issue, you got Lois, you got Jimmy, you got Clark, everybody back at the Daily Planet.
Yep.
The whole thing feels gang's like a Superman all back movie.
Well, and it's that Jeff makes John, sense. It's so, Jeff Johns. You know, that makes I total sense. That. Yeah, I mean, he would write like that, and he has, and that's the big thing. I think as much as I like Jeff Parker, no, Greg Pak.
I love Superman, Batman, and action.
I love that Superman a lot, and that feels like kind of a blend of classic and more modern. But you know, Jeff Johns is absolutely trying to kind of put the pieces back to have a unified Superman that does have more connective tissue back to the Christopher Reeve stuff. And, you know, the Man of Steel stuff, whatever, a little bit. But I'm enjoying that. But, I mean, other than that, in DC, like, you know, I am excited about Godhead. And that's
the Green Lantern thing?
The Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
New Gods.
I thought it was going to be all through Wonder Woman, the New Gods.
Well, that would have made sense too, right?
Yeah, but I really thought that's what they were going to build up.
I love Kirby. I love New Gods stuff. I've not been a huge fan of Charles Soule. What's his name? Venditti. I kind of dropped off Green Lantern a little bit. It's okay, but you know, when he starts that storyline up, because again, I'm a big New Gods guy, I will definitely follow that. And
we're all going to have to read the Forever People, because that's the only
I probably will drop that.
It's tied into it.
Well, if it's tied in, damn it.
Exactly.
I don't love.
Nobody else cares.
That first
but now
issue,
you have to.
The first issue is really good. I thought that the second and third, it's kind of. The third is interesting because they finally revealed the Infinity Man, I think. And it's a different take. It's not what they used to do. It's not just they just suddenly they're not there, and suddenly this other guy is there. There is actually seemingly more involved. And what I like is there's like the New Gods. There's some intrigue. It's not just New Gods are great. The evil what do you call it? The High Father and his minions on New Genesis are all great people. No, there's some issues.
They've
some problems.
They've always been dicks, though.
They've been dicks, but like there hasn't been this like overt sense of like something's going on that's not good with the Infinity with the Forever People's, like the guy who runs their school or whatever. Like he's up to something that's probably not good. So anyway, I'm excited about New Gods in general. I want to see them bring Mr. Miracle out of Earth 2 at some point and give him back a more prominent role, and he and Barda, because those are the two that I really
he's
love.
He's 52 and he's just like slinking around on the island.
I know, right? But anyway, so DC is sort of in between. Next month with the 5 years later will be interesting to see how the different writers play off that and if they really do anything exciting or not.
Marvel, we have, disaster. You know, the end of Sin.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You guys have to deal with those covers.
Oh.
No, we don't. We don't. Charlie comes in and takes them all.
No, that's Wolverine. The Futures End 5 years later holographic cover starts tomorrow.
Don't worry about that shit. That's all he ordered. So that's it.
I know.
So no, don't let it get to you because it's not that atrocity that it was.
Okay.
Just now, don't.
What were you talking about? There are variant covers for the original Sin stuff?
It's
Wolverine.
Death of Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. Is Soul coming back to the store? No.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought there was some promotion or something.
No, we're doing like a little event. We're selling it. Instead, it's like $5. We're selling it for $2.
Does anybody have... Do we have any idea? Someone said they read the first issue and they said it was good.
I've read the first two.
Oh, you talked. Like,
I went to go read the second one. They took it off.
Well, yep.
That's right. So I asked you. It's sort of an obvious extension of like... You know why they're killing Wolverine or how they kill Wolverine or
anybody. And I'm not spoiling this because it's not something to be spoiled. But anybody who has read Wolverine for years, decades, even, have asked me and they've asked you the question, Eric. Like, well, this and that. So that means this and that. Well, it exactly means this and that. Like that's really what he's doing. He's just like, this is happening, and you know his death will be caused by something else, or it might be caused by this, but, you know...
He's going to trip in a puddle of water?
Yeah. But, you know, it's like they're bringing in the, like, they've reduced it down to the core, like, villains for Wolverine.
And then we get Logan's Legacy.
Yeah. That's what's interesting.
Then we get the new Wolverine.
So we think there's going to be like a new Wolverine.
My money is on it's going to be an Inhuman.
Really?
I think it's going to be an Inhuman.
Some people are thinking it's Dawkins sort of reformed, but.
No, because he's still dead.
Dawkins.
No, he's not.
I can't see it being
Wolverine. He's not dead.
He's dead.
I thought they he's a whatever, but they didn't actually kill him.
He's a horseman of apocalypse, but yeah. He's like dead.
Well, I think he's in Legacy of whatever the hell the Legacy book is. I think he's in that. So.
Well, yeah, no, he'll be in it. It's just you know what? They might try to push Jubilee.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what I think, you know, because Jubilee in the future and Battle of the Atom and everything's coming to fruition of Mystique and Charles Xavier being together. So I'm like, would it be like the shit if all of a sudden Jubilee becomes the next Wolverine?
Well, I'm interested, obviously.
Which we'll have to kill her quick because I can't take it.
Oh. X-Men, they've been doing that last Will and Testament thing. That's been
Uncanny X-Men.
Uncanny, right?
That's
and then
fun.
All new X-Men's got the crossover with Miles Morales and the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is
great, beating the crap out of him, yes.
Yeah, that I did enjoy that, although some people were confused when they opened that first page. They're like, why is this an Ultimates book? What the fuck's going on? Anyway. What else is so Original Sin? We kind of touched on it,
but that's
wrapping up.
Yeah, that's about to wrap up.
Axis, I am very excited
about
Axis. All the cool shit that they're revealing, the whole good people are going to turn bad people are turning good. Like that excites me a lot.
Which
does like there's a little bit of it's like forever evil. Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's a weird thing. I'm like,
Carnage just hanging out in the bar.
Hobgoblins running a business. You know.
You
know,
like. It's funny because on the DC side, we don't really have anything. On the Marvel side, they're doing that thing where we're getting a lot of different things at the same time because, our universe is like really like unified, but it's not because Time Runs Out is going to be an Avengers thing.
Oh, boy, that's going to be
a mess, too. I'm excited about
Time Runs Out. I'm excited.
The only problem is I realize... It's like 8 months long until Time Runs Out.
So for those of you who don't know, what's going to happen is both the Avengers and New Avengers, which right now they're in a great place because basically Avengers have found out what happened with the new event with the Illuminati being reformed and they've been trying to build weapons to destroy worlds to prevent their universe from being destroyed. All this stuff has finally come to a head. And it looks like the Avengers are going to go after the new Avengers, quote unquote. But what?
Well, it's fucking Namor, man.
Well, but it's Namor, but they're after all of them. They're after all of them. So what's interesting is Hickman is not going to reveal he's going to reveal the outcome of it. He's going to jump 8 months from now and show the world as it is then. And basically, over the course of those 8 months, the Marvel Universe is going to catch up. And so in 8 months, they're going to have, I guess, some kind of a little mini event called Time Runs Out or some capstone or whatever. And a lot of people were speculating this is going to be a reboot of the Marvel Universe, which we all
everybody,
know.
Everybody,
no all
matter whatever
know,
happens, whatever like event, it's a rebooted. Nope. Everything's a rebooted.
And it's not it's because like, Marvel, I mean, it would really shock me if they changed their mind on this, but Marvel is not about overall like universe-wide reboot. They'll make little reboots. They'll make little relaunches. I bet anything there's, know there's going to be an Avengers relaunch. We know that. Because that'll basically be Hickman's. He's going to tell a story and be done.
OPS, I don't care. I'm getting the omnibus for Hickman's.
Oh, I think
Avengers
it's worth it.
Avengers.
It's worth
I'm
it.
I'm getting it. I want it so badly.
Yeah. It's been. I really did enjoy the Avengers where Cap kind of keeps going forward in time and gets to the end of
that
time.
That was great.
Iron
and
Lad
gorgeous.
And Mortis and Kang were all there. Like that, it was really cool. You know, the new Avengers stuff, although the art keeps shifting, and I don't like when there's like inconsistent art. But yeah, that fucking Namor pulling the
welcome
pulling,
back everybody
killing all
just
the
just in case you don't know what this word is.
Why can't they just
Cabal.
Kill him? Well, why can't Cabal. We just kill Namor?
Well, and I actually also really like the end of that issue. Or no, it's the next issue where they basically show that they had another incursion. They're gonna have their universe go away, and they finally all the rest of them decide. Look, we can't do anything. We're not gonna kill a planet. We're not. Let's just accept that we're all dying, and they all deal with it in their own ways. Except that Namor goes out and forms. The Cabal, which that great Hickman, you know, single page white text. What does it say? Like the Cabal rises or something. And it's basically like Thanos, a couple of his people.
Proxima Midnight.
Who else?
Corvus
name?
Glaive. Black Swan.
Namor.
Maximus.
That's right. Maximus. And
Terax.
Terax.
From down the
so
Earth.
So basically people who have either kind of been on the sidelines of New Avengers or in some ways, the what's his name from Black Bolt's brother from the Inhumans. Like, they're the ones who now are going to go out and kill these worlds because they know it has to be done. They don't want to they don't want to have their universe extinguished, so they're going to take the job that the Illuminati has given up. So that's kind of cool, and I'm really see how that goes. Marvel's just got the original Sin with Nova, exploring what happened with the Cancerverse thing, Guardians.
That's Guardians.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean exploring what happened to Richard Rider. Although I evidently spelled his name wrong. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to another show today, and they spelled it with a Y in this, mm-hmm. and it's an I. I don't know. One of those little fun nitpicks. But, you know, that's kind of cool. The first issue of that basically sets up whatever's going to happen. I mean, it looks like something with the Cosmic Cube, you know. And the Cosmic Cube does all kinds of crazy shit. But,
and in my mind, in my hopes and dreams.
It's not happening. Shut up.
We just move Sam Alexander over.
With Sam forever. No,
you just move him over to New Warriors. And when that gets canceled, no more Sam Alexander.
I think it's already been canceled.
And then we get Richard Rodder as Nova.
You're the one who always said it, that they're pushing Sam.
I know they are. But I hate him.
Everybody does. If there is room for an old Cyclops and a young Cyclops, an old X-Men and a young X-Men, if there is room in the Marvel Universe for that, there is room for two Novas. Right?
One in New Avengers?
I just get rid of Sam.
One's got a black helmet, one's got a gold helmet. Done. Easy. Even Loeb said way back when he launched the new Nova, there is certainly room for both. Like, he was very clear. He was very clear.
Because Richard's like, I don't want any part of this. I'm going to take
cancer. That'll be interesting to see what they resolve with him, if they bring him back or not. I want them to bring back all the guys, like Quasar and all the old school Moondragon, all that stuff. I want that.
Wait a minute. Which one is dead? Is Phyla dead or Moondragon dead? I always forget.
I think Phyla's the one of the lesbians. Dead. Yeah, well. What else at Marvel? I mean, Miss Marvel has been great. She has that little Wolverine arc going on. Mm. She-Hulk, I didn't read the most recent one. I don't think I got it. It was pretty good from what I understood. And then the one before I love Charles Soule's stuff. God, I don't know. There's just a lot. Marvel has consistently kept putting out a wide range of good books in different art styles. They're not doing the house style thing by, you know, like DC tends to do. And I've just been enjoying pretty much all the ones. It's like I keep going, oh my God, there's another book. Oh my God, there's another book. Double shipped, all that stuff. But man, it's hard to say no because they are really good.
Yeah. Specifically, Superior Spider-Man 32.
Ugh.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Which reminds me how much I don't care for Peter Parker.
Yeah, I really like the Doc.
I finally come to that conclusion.
It's okay. It's Silk that's keeping me on his book.
Not really? Even. You like Silk?
I don't like her. It's different.
I like her, but I just don't care about Peter.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm coming out of the closet to say, I don't give a fuck about Peter Parker.
Coming out of the closet.
Shut up.
Girl, change that.
Now, so are you going to read Spider-Verse, though? I mean,
I am going to read Spider-Verse. Because
that's going to be with Ock.
Yeah. Other people, too. I mean, is main Peter Parker not going to be a part of it, I think?
No, he's part of it.
Like, Edge of Spider-Verse, like, when that comes out, I'm going to like it because it's going to be not the take of 616 Peter.
Yeah. So, well, I love Elseworlds alternate universe stuff anyway, so. I don't know. So Marvel's been great. Image, you know, man, Remender's killing it. Lowe's great.
I love Lowe. The art, I don't know how to say the guy's name who's the artist.
Oh, I can't remember.
It is, the art is just gorgeous.
It's the guy, Ticini. It's
that
the,
how you
he
say
did,
it?
Yeah, Ticini. He did Last Days of American Crime with Remender. Those little three, like, premium trade little thin whatever's that was really good. I like this a lot more because it's more sci-fi. It fits his style more, I think. Black Science came back and is great. Like, that's taking a very unique turn. Deadly Class hasn't come back, but it's on break, but it ended really strong, and I'm sure it's gonna be great when it comes back. So like, Remender's killing it. Hickman, I've really enjoyed the most recent Manhattan projects. They go into Cuba.
Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't
talk about it anymore.
Nah, just, I need to go, they go to Cuba, that's all I'll say. What else?
Saga's
still good.
Saga's still great. I love their splash pages. Every issue, they give you one splash page where you're just like, I lost it. I broke out into hysterics. It was so good.
The Star Wars universe at Dark Horse is over. They have finally... there might be one more. Maybe the one that Kent's doing. But,
yeah.
But the main
two... No. That's over.
Oh, it is? Okay, so the main two is was Legacy, which is the far future. They wrapped that up very strongly. A great, great like Star Wars through and through, but like the legacy of their, you know, lives. And then the one by Brian Wood wrapped up really strongly. I think that series, like, I like the Legacy one a lot more, but that Brian Wood one had some really strong moments. I love the fact that Leia was, like, the main character. Like, that was her story. And that sets me up to really be excited about Marvel having Mark
Telling
Waid.
The same story.
Well, no, no, no. I don't think it'll be the same story, but Mark Waid and then giving Leia her own book. Like, that's going to be cool. And the Jason Aaron one's going to be excited, obviously, for Vader. But all that's going to be great when that launches. But, you know, it is sad to see Dark Horse lose this and you know, Marvel pick it up. Because Dark Horse has maintained Star Wars for decades now in the interim between big movies. And even before the new quote-unquote, the prequels, when there was just nothing Star Wars. So, I mean, and I am glad to see Marvel is going to be...
Star Wars Legends.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't count.
But they're still printing it.
Right, and that's the cool thing. Marvel is going to reprint some of the Dark Horse stuff, I guess, depending on what it is. Like, I don't know how that'll work. But it's staying alive, and you can certainly get it out there as many copies, and you can easily find any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else.
Wicked and Divine is so great.
Yes.
If you love the
third
Young
issue,
Avengers run.
I didn't like the third issue as much because I was a little confused about what was going on. If I probably go back and revisit it, I might.
Reread it.
Because it's dense.
Anything with the Morrigan is going to confuse you.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to see that one god that's like the gay god, and he's like a Norse, I think. But he's got boyfriends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They referred to him. They have not shown him yet, so I'm excited.
No,
for
they did.
Did they show him?
At the end, yeah.
Oh, that was him?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
That's cool. Birthright. Is coming, and I
haven't
read the second issue.
I'm in the middle of the second issue.
I'm going to read it tomorrow during trivia when I don't give a damn. But
girl, we're going to have so much shit to read tomorrow. You're going to give a damn.
Oh, it's tomorrow big?
It's a lot. You got Original Sin. We got the Future Zen shit. We got all this stuff coming in.
Well, Future Zen, you can fudge for like a week. I sometimes do. Mm-hmm. But
not proper. I mean,
But Original Sin is definitely I'm excited about seeing how that wraps up with the whole Nick Fury against the Marvel Universe. Like, that's
look, when I saw Captain America fighting with a Walker, I'm like, "You know what? You know what?
I'm glad
to step back now."
Uncanny Avengers
and I'm going to stick to my X-Men universe cuz that's where I belong.
Uncanny Avengers, now that Ragnarok Now thing is done, I'm excited about how that's going to play into Axis. And I love that they tied
that
it
was
to
Planet X
or whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. But Ragnarok Now and then Planet X, whatever. Like, the Remender's story is all knitting together because he's got old Cap over in Cap's book. He's got old Cap now in his Uncanny Avengers book.
You've
Hickman won't
Cap
have old Cap,
She-Hulk.
I guess, until eight months later or whatever he's doing. But and She-Hulk, is that?
No.
Okay, well, I didn't. So,
it's
cool that it's all kind of building up, and I'm excited about that.
Before we end, if you've ever liked fantasy stories or like the never ending story and stuff like that, read Birthright because it's going to give you all of that and
more.
Is
that Image?
It's Image.
It's
I cannot remember
Williamson?
The writer.
Something
it might
Williamson.
Be, yeah. It's smart.
Art is really beautiful.
Yeah.
The story
it's
is
like
very
fantasy,
fun.
Like you said.
You know
it's
what?
A little synopsis of basically this kid. He goes. He's playing with his father, but he goes running into the woods, and he gets transported into this other realm where he's supposed to be the chosen one, kind of thing.
Right.
And it's just, it's fantastic, and that's all I want to say. I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. One more Image book, and then we'll wrap up. Fade Out.
Oh, I love a Fade Out.
Fade
the
Out
first
was,
issue.
What's his name? Oh my
Brubaker.
God,
Brubaker
and Sean Phillips. Excellent noir. But what I loved is the oversized print version was
the magazine.
Cool. The magazine. It had a great, like, old, like you know, pulpy cover. The story, they didn't do any kind of weird differences in, like, the structure or anything. It was basically a reprint inside of this, but bigger because you had more room. But overall, it made a heightened experience, and I really am interested in the story. Kind of reminds me of Satellite Sam in a sense that it's, like, it's not TV era, but it's, like, that same, let's explore some murder mystery in the context of 50s, 60s, or in this case, maybe even 40s, like production.
I would say 40s, yeah.
So, but very noir and very interesting. And I like Black Science or Black Science. I love listening to Black Kiss.
Brubaker.
That's all great. But I was going
Criminal.
Back to not that
Satellite Sam.
Yeah, that's right. Satellite Sam's fun. It is fun. There's a gay writer on there. He's dealing with his stuff. Like,
you know what? When I tell you, up until like a year ago, only because I don't have the time, used to listen to old school like radio, sci-fi, like pulps. That I love. Satellite Sam bored me to pieces.
It's different, but yeah, anyway.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, you can find us on where? I don't care anymore.
FlameOnShow.com is our main website. We are now on SoundCloud, so actually, if you want to make it easy on yourself and you want to subscribe on SoundCloud because you don't have an Apple product, you can do that, and I've done that, and it's very easy. But you can still find us on iTunes, and if you do find us on iTunes, leave us a review. It does help at least rate us, but if you want to leave a little like sentence or two, we'd love to hear from you. We are still looking for emails. I want to bring back the viewer or listener write in. So we may have a question in the next episode or two. There's a voicemail line up on our website, Flame On Podcast on Twitter. We do interact with our fans on there. Steve Mowry being pretty much 90% of those interactions because he likes to tweet at us, and we love him, so we'll tweet back. Tumblr, I put all kinds of good stuff up on there occasionally. So if you like Tumblr, if you like into that stuff, it's there. And
is
Facebook.
Other stuff besides penises on Tumblr?
Well, you know, I don't really
share. Not that
I found.
Doctor Who, penises, some anime stuff. It's good. Gravity Falls, which is now back, and I've been enjoying that's a lot of that stuff too. But yeah, no, just reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a great schedule. We got some interviews coming up that we're excited about getting out to you guys. Dragon's New Spandex will be back with an exciting new episode very soon, and
I'll have a new episode of Bath Time with Eric next weekend.
Yay! I love those. Finally. Yeah, it's been took a little break, right? That's
trying
okay.
to wash off the fell.
Yeah, still.
And if you're in the Orlando area and you are two plugs real quick. Orlando area, September now. Wow, October 16th through the 19th. That weekend. Bear Bust, which is Pat's. For those of you who don't know, Pat is the main like bear programming director at Parliament House, and he is doing this Bear Bust thing this year. It's going to be ridiculous. They've got Tom Goss, which we interviewed for his website, and My Big Funny Peter, who's this bear comedian. He's got all these other DJs coming. They're going to have a pool party. It's all of this great stuff. Bear Bust is on Facebook.
Girl, do you want to go and not get judged?
Seriously.
That's where we go.
Well, and Flame On might have a vending table there with comic book bears. We're working on that. So I will certainly be there. If you're going to be there, let me know, and we'll look for you, and we'll say hi. The other thing is Comic Book Bears, the other show that I do with Bill and Justin, we're actually doing a live recording at New York Comic Con. The Wednesday before the con at
all
Rock
the audience
Bar.
Knows that we could Eric and Oral could have left 40 minutes ago.
Oh, shush. Shush. 8 o'clock, Rock Bar, New York. It's like the week of October 11th, but it's that Wednesday night. New York Comic Con. I'll be there Thursday with Pat, and we'll be doing that live recording. And Comic Book Bear is great. Check them out on Earth 2's podcast network. And, yeah, that's all I got. So I guess on that plug-tastic note.
Bye, bitches.
Flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out FlameOnShow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.